Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Cute.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
As a player, that's your motivation to get it drafted as high as you can.
It's time to restock the shelves of professional basketball.
The only thing that matters is they all eventually want to play with guys who are on their level.
Let's see what the NBA movers and shakers have in mind. This is a draft week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what a do?
Ahoy.
What a do?
Just sportsin'.
What a do?
On a beautiful day.
I did that three times. Did you hear that?
A triple?
Hello.
I did a trifecta for you. You know why? Because it's a special day.
Why is it a special day?
Well, it's Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And
we have those from time to time, so I'm going to stop short of calling Tuesday special because that happens.
Another reason is that we have foursomes in our golf tournament to auction off today.
Okay.
That's very special.
Still don't know if I fully buy into it being a special show.
Well, no, I didn't say special show.
Oh.
No, let's not get carried away. Right. I said special day.
All right.
So it's somebody's birthday.
It's like 90 degrees outside, right?
I'm sure we have some listeners who have their birthdays today. Happy birthday, yo. Sawdudes.
It's 85 right now.
Sawdudes. I love it.
But according to my weather app, which I downloaded.
Hey, finally.
Yeah, I finally got one. 87 today.
You're finally going to be informed.
I never look at it really, though, because I just go off of my weather bros. I just go to you guys for my hot weather takes.
The new San Diego. I looked at the long-term forecast because, you know, now if you go to the AccuWeather one, it will give you, I'm not sure how many days it goes out, but it's a long time, bro. Yeah.
Do you trust? I don't trust anything other than like a 4 to 5 day window.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
I don't even trust tomorrow.
Yeah. But like, you give me, I see where you're coming from.
Because a couple of days ago, they said today and tomorrow we're going to be like 95 and 97, and now we're in the high 80s.
But they know, like, I think the big thing around here is it's not really about temperature, right?
Yeah.
It's more about, is there a storm moving in?
Yeah.
Because
what's the difference between 87 and 92?
Exactly.
As long as I don't get stuck in a rainstorm.
Yeah, like, if as long as they're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so they know a week or two, right? Because they can look out into the ocean and
big water.
Ocean water. And so, was I saying
Space Force?
I'm not sure how.
Once Space Force happens, then we're really going to be dialed in.
I'm not sure how far it goes out. Actually, I can look. I can pull it up here. But I was looking at the really long daily.
Yeah, like the month long sort
of
thing.
And you're right. I shouldn't really trust this, especially like, let me see how far it goes. I think it's 20 days. maybe it's 3 weeks or something. And of course, it won't pull up now. But it's dry the whole time. Thank you.
Well, we are the new San Diego. You proclaimed that like a month ago.
We're the new San Diego, man. I'm telling you.
Although, wasn't it supposed to be dry this weekend, and then we had extended thunderstorms?
We didn't have extended thunderstorms.
We had scattered thunderstorms.
I'm telling you, a lot of weather bros were upset at you two donkeys for poo-pooing the thunderstorms.
Don't bring this up.
I'm just saying, a lot of people were upset at you two.
Sir, your proclamation on yesterday's broadcast was that it rained all weekend.
It did not.
That was wrong.
It just didn't.
Did it rain on Saturday?
I don't know that. I wasn't here.
Did it rain on Sunday? Yes. Did it rain for a significant portion of each one of those days?
That's the most sick.
Yes.
It didn't rain on Saturday where I live. Second of all, horrible.
Well, if it didn't rain where Mike lives.
Right, I'm just saying it's not consistent across the entire Portland area, so it didn't rain all weekend.
I love that you have now made it so that if it rains a little bit on Saturday and a little bit on Sunday, that equates so that you can win your argument.
It rained on the weekend.
It rained all weekend.
It did. It rains. What would all weekend be? Saturday and Sunday, and it rained for a significant part of both of those days.
All weekend would be all 48 hours of Saturday and Sunday combined.
Why can't you just admit you said something that was wrong?
No.
Just admit it.
No.
You were wrong.
Because the weather bros were not happy about you two donkeys saying that it didn't rain.
They're idiots.
Clearly it did.
Some guy tweeted the weather map radar. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's exactly what scattered thunderstorms are.
It was a bunch of rain.
God. This goes one, two, three.
We're not supposed to get any more scattered showers.
7, 8, 9, 10. I'm still counting. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Wow. 17, 18. What's after 18? 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. It's 25 day-er. It goes all the way out 25 days. Isn't that amazing? And 25 days from now, it says it will be, that's in mid-July, 84 and sunny.
Ooh.
And the precipitation chance?
Yeah.
Over all of those days, the highest is 30%.
Get those sprinklers out.
And that will be on Friday, June 29th.
I love it. Best place in the country to be during the summertime, right here in the Pacific Northwest. Stinking wonderful.
And it is a beautiful day out there today. Yeah. Now, we do have two foursomes to our golf tournament.
Yes, we do.
That's Monday and Tuesday out at Langdon Farms. Very, very exciting news that I got today on my phone. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you braced?
Well, hold on. Now I am. Now I'm braced for it. Give it to me.
I got a text from Travis at Baseballism.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing our hats.
Oh, yeah, for the Portland Diamond Project.
What?
Right?
No.
No?
Baseballism.
Yes.
Is doing the hat.
For the Fangolf.
For the Fangolf Classic.
Oh, for the Fangolf Classic.
I think they're in bed with Portland Diamond Project, too.
They're doing it. In fact, I think all that stuff that Barrett was wearing, I think all that's Baseballism stuff. And yeah, so I think that stuff's coming as well. So we got two lots of Baseballism news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. as it pertains to us, let's just stay in my lane here. This is what I know.
You're going to pull a LeVar Ball. Just stay in your lane.
What I know is that... he shot me a picture of the hats that everyone will be receiving at the 1080 The Fan Golf Classic on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they are super cool.
Well, I would assume so.
Baseballism
makes great stuff.
Yeah, they're cool hats. Like, you know, sometimes radio swag.
It's dodgy at best.
It can be, but it depends on who your partner is. Like Drift Creek Outdoors did amazing things for us.
Yes.
You know, we've had a lot of partners that have made really cool fan stuff. Then there have been other times where it's like,
not so much.
Okay, that's a shirt that nobody's gonna wear. You know what I mean? Like, you get those shirts at a golf tournament.
It is disappointing when you roll into a golf tournament, whatever you get, you're like, well, that's going to my dad, that's going in a drawer somewhere.
That's right. You're just hoping it's wearable.
Yes. That's why shoes are always a good deal. If you can get shoes, because you can't really screw up shoes. But when it comes to shirts, hats, pants, bags of some sort, it's a 50-50 proposition at best.
So the hat is soups cool.
All right.
And
did you post that?
No, it's exclusive.
Oh,
only for the people in the golf tournament.
Okay.
So he's experimenting. He always wanted to. This is Travis at Baseballism.
Mm.
He always wanted to try. He just had the idea to make the underneath part of the bill of the cap make it like a towel, so that you can clean your golf ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
And he did it.
So we've got what, like a terry cloth? Undercover there on the hat?
It's just like the you know, it's usually green.
Yeah.
This is going to be more of a towel-y substance there.
That's why I went with the terry cloth, like a bathrobe.
Yeah, that's right.
And you just rub it off?
You spit on your ball or whatever, I don't know. And you you can clean your ball on your hat.
You clean your balls.
Yes.
Wow.
On your hat.
How about that?
Isn't that cool?
Innovation right here at the Fan. Well, innovation through Baseballism, but
yeah,
still.
But
we'll take credit for it.
They're experimenting with that through our golf tournament, which I think is really neat. So Monday and Tuesday is our golf tournament at Langdon Farms. Jam-packed, full up, been full for weeks. But we do have two spots. They always hold back two spots to kick off fundraising for Special Olympics Oregon, which is, of course, the beneficiary of our big radiothon every year in December. Now, if you've been following the news, they had to cancel their summer games.
Yep, they got some financing problems. So every bit of funding that we can raise there goes to a wonderful cause. So we're hoping that this raises a decent chunk of change.
Yeah, they need it more than ever. And so what we're going to do is beginning at 5, and I will prompt you accordingly. But at 5 o'clock, we're going to do this all via text. And so if you don't know our text number, it is 55305. And from 5 to 5:30. We're going to take bids on the foursome.
There you go.
And remember that the money, 100% of it, is going to Special Olympics Oregon.
Yeah, we don't siphon some of this off to fund Rob's gambling problems or
although
anything.
I can't confirm that. You know, quite frankly, I mean, it's not going to go to me for sure.
No.
I'm like number 800 on the list of if it were siphoned off, who it would go to. But I don't know where it's going. I just assume it's going to the Special Olympics.
Yes.
Okay.
Every dollar of it.
But you
is
know,
going
I,
there.
If you said, "Hey, prove it," I can't do that. I don't know.
That is true.
So
you know what? I'm going to take it at face value.
Just
and say,
trust us.
It's all going. Yeah, trust us. We're on the radio. Everything we say is true, right?
Kind That's of, right.
Maybe sort of.
So if you want to play in our tournament, you have a foursome.
This is the only way.
This is it. Now, what was the cost of the foursome?
$400 or $500, I think it was. I think 500 for a foursome.
I want to say that's right. I think it was $500.
Yeah.
So the bidding will begin at 5. You text in your bid. We'll track it by your phone number. And then we'll have the two highest bids at 5:30 are playing in the tournament. Yeah.
So, and again, this thing sold out in a matter of weeks. It's the only way you can get in on it. And it's a great value. You get some food, you get some booze, get the cool hat. Got some good fan swag for you. It's well worth your time. And it all goes to a good cause. And it's a tax write-off.
Not only that, there's another and.
There's another?
Yeah.
We got another and.
Did you mention the hat?
I did mention the hat.
Okay. And then the $50 Nike gift shop. Did you mention that? And then golf and all that. But you get to meet Big Zook.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
You will get to meet Big Zook if you want to.
In theory.
He'll be there.
Maybe.
I know he's going to be there. We just talked about it. We had a big meeting.
I am required by law to be there.
So that, 5 to 5:30. In the meantime, we discuss sports.
Yes, we've got baseball sports. We have basketball sports, soccer sports, so much sports.
I don't have much soccer today. What do you know that I don't?
What World Cup?
Yeah, what about
it? I was kind of hoping for your hot World Cup takes.
Actually, okay, I have nothing in my World Cup notes for today.
Yeah.
Except I read a story.
So you do have something in your World Cup notes.
Yeah, I put it separate because it's its own segment.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to do too much World Cup. I mean, come on, let's not.
We just, you know what? We pepper it in.
Yeah,
you
know, I don't know.
It's not the main season. We just sprinkle it upon.
It's interesting. I like the World Cup.
Like paprika.
But this story is separate of World Cup news, but it pertains to World Cup. And it's an article on ESPN.com, and it's a video on ESPN E60 or whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The New Hooligans.
Ooh.
Have you read that?
Is this the one on the Russian hooligans?
Yes.
Yes, then I have.
Yeah.
I didn't remember exactly what it was called, but that...
I think it's called The New Hooligans.
That is unbelievable that they have really... They've taken over from Germany and Russia. They're like, mm-hmm. no, or Germany and England. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to hooligan. We know how to hooligan.
If you have ever wondered what's become of the soccer hooligan, mm-hmm. we will be able to tell you when we conduct this segment.
Mm-hmm.
So that I do have in the notes for the day.
You know, for a brief time, for about
you were a hooligan.
7 to 11 minutes, I was a soccer hooligan.
I know. I remember that story.
I was involved in a soccer brawl.
That's
and
a
I
great
hit,
story.
I hit several Germans with a big metal pole. That did indeed happen.
Wow. So we'll get that story too. Regale us.
It's unbelievable. I didn't really want to be a soccer hooligan. I just tell you, when you find yourself in that situation, to hooligan or not to hooligan, you don't really have a choice. You just hooligan.
So in the interest of over-teasing, I won't tease too much, but to tell you this, a couple of things today. One that we will get to for sure. I've always been, kind of wondering what the Oregon tribal casinos think of sports gambling and mm-hmm. what their plan is and stuff. Well, I read an article on that today, and I have some info on that.
Well, in Congress, too, if you saw that, Congress is holding discussions, meetings, to see what they can do about sports gambling.
You mean to see how they can get their hands on some
exactly.
of the money?
Well, this is all the owners that are trying to lobby. All the sports owners are trying to get all the Congress bros, which they're in bed with, to pass a federal law. That way the Lees can get their hands on some of this. They want their rat claws to get a couple of these shekels.
I will say this info that I read about Oregon's tribal casinos is quite disappointing, and I'll tell you why coming up. And then it's NBA draft week.
Yes.
The Blazers.
Well, we know who they're going to take.
Who?
They've worked out someone twice.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Is that the deal? I got to tell you, I have not followed any of the pre-draft coverage.
No, it has not been.
Who's the two?
Well, we'll talk about
it. Okay, can we? Let's start there.
We'll tease it.
It's NBA draft week.
There you go.
Let's start right there.
Yes.
Coming up next on The Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, the NBA draft, guys. How about that? Another one. They're doing it again this year.
Again?
Yeah, they do it every year, it seems like.
It's kind of good, though,
what
when
an
you're
exciting
not.
Time.
When it sure it, is it's lame. Not a huge deal.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's always nice to have a pick that's up there, but if you have a pick that's in the top five or six and you're not named Boston, it means you sucked. But it certainly would be nice for Portland to be in the market for one of the top three or four players, but you don't have anything to even move up if you wanted to move up into a top 10 position. So I know that's been kind of the debate out there on the old social media. Should Portland move up? But I would ask the question, what does Portland use to move up? You're not going to use CJ to move up. You're not giving up Zach Collins to move up. So what do you
Why
have? Because he is a foundational player, you son of a B.
I think they should trade him.
They love themselves some Zach Collins.
Right, so that wrong.
It's not CJ. It's not Zach. It's obviously not Dame. So who else do you have to move up to get yourself a top 10 pick?
That wasn't fair. It's not a wrong.
No.
He's let's give him some time.
Yeah, he was towards the end of the season. He was a nice.
Yes.
It was a nice building block.
Well, the Blazers always, you know, especially a GM bro, he likes to sell that. Oh, Paul Allen loves the draft. Yeah. And
bro,
you know, anytime the NBA draft rolls around, yeah, hold on to your hat.
A player.
But. And last year, they, you know, in their defense, they did move up and trade two picks for one.
They move up, what, six spots or whatever it was?
But they made a move.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like the most uninspiring move ever. Like, it wasn't to them, but to the fan base, it's like, oh, my God, a guy who didn't even start in college and he's like super raw white guy project. Really? you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, even though they did technically make the move that they always talk about, like, we're going to be aggressive. They did do that. Mm-hmm. It's just. It didn't blow anyone's hair back. So we'll see down the road if they're right or wrong about that. But they always do try to sell, like, oh, it's draft night and we pick 24th, which is the most uninspiring thing ever. I say we, they, the Blazers.
Are you in the war room?
I am not in the war room.
Are you throwing your two cents in?
But, you know, I guess you can expect them to be very Blazery. I don't know. I'm
sure if there's someone that they like, maybe you can find a way to move from 24 to 15, but I don't know. Again, I would go through this roster and say, if anything, you have bloated contracts that nobody wants. Certainly not anything that's going to be attractive to make a significant move up in the draft. So I think.
So is anybody expecting anything good from the Blazers this week?
I don't think so. But that doesn't mean that you can't end up with a quality player at 24. Well, here and then now we get to go through everyone that was drafted who's ever been good from 24 on.
My expectation is a European big who's over there for 6 years.
I have a different list for you. So we're not going to go through the list of, like, needle in a haystack guys who were, like, Manu Ginobili.
Draymond Green, who's a second round pick.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace.
No, we're not going to do that.
No.
What I'm going to tell you is the Blazers.
Victor Crayappa.
Have picked in this range. Mm-hmm. Say 22, 23, 24, 25, somewhere in there, many times over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to list the players that they have acquired.
Maybe the best, like Travis Outlaw. Does that?
Are you ready for the list?
I'm ready for the list.
There, Will Barton's in there, right?
So it's he was a second round pick.
Barton's not here though.
Well, they traded. I mean, they got what? Who did they trade for him?
Aaron Aflalo.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was a mistake too.
Yeah.
What a mess that was.
Wouldn't have been if Wes Matthews didn't get hurt, but
I don't know about that. Aflalo didn't seem to fit real well. That was a weird one.
Well, he had a little bit like the Evan Turner. You knew he could play a little bit.
Yeah.
It just never
he
ended
can play.
Up, it never ended up being a good. It never
fit.
Ended up being a good fit.
So it's a who's who of Blazers when picking in this range over the years. Mm. So I'm just trying to paint a picture that, look, 24 is not sexy.
Always look on the bright side of life. Mr. Brightside over there, Isaac Rop.
That's a little Monty Python, and I love that. Yeah. Great reference. Okay, so let's go back to Quintel Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Summer League MVP.
That's right.
Quintel Woods.
And gave us one of the great moments in Blazer history when he got pulled over for speeding high and he used his basketball card as ID.
You know, he took a lot of flack for that, but look, if you didn't have your license and you got pulled over and you had a basketball card, or let's say in your case, a football card.
You pull that out.
Is it so wrong that you, well, look.
There is a picture of you.
That is true.
Your name is on it.
It's like in the Big Lebowski when he pulls out his Ralph's card when he gets arrested. Mr. Lebowski, is this your only form of identification? Well, and then he had the dog fighting thing. Although to be fair.
He did?
Yeah. Quintel got the dog fighting. He took an unfair rap for that because there were a lot of them that were dog fighting and they made Quintel out to be the goat there.
So Blazers picking in the range of the 24th pick in the draft over the years have selected Quintel Woods, Travis Outlaw.
That's what I was going to say, maybe the best one.
And he was, you know.
He liked gummy bears.
He was all right. Elliot Williams.
Okay. He had the double knee surgery, right?
Yeah, he was a freak athlete.
He had so much potential every single year.
He just couldn't stay healthy.
Victor Claver.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Nolan Smith.
Mm, another Duke guy.
Pat Connaughton. And Caleb Swanigan.
Hey, but wasn't...
So there you go.
People are saying Terry Porter was number 24.
I think it's really sexy.
I didn't go that far back.
Well, you should have.
Because the draft's different.
Jerk.
The draft's very different. The area of the draft where the Blazers are picking is not inspiring. It's guys... Like, I just read that list. Guys generally in that range, and it's not all of them. Like I say, you can find, you know, fine guys. You just kind of got to get lucky a little bit, but... It's guys who are available there are generally an archetype that's a dime a dozen in the NBA.
Yes.
Right? Like, they're guys that, they're kind of like Travis Outlaw. And that's on the good side of it. They're guys that really don't create their own shot, but they're super athletic, or they look the part, but they aren't that skilled.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is.
There's something wrong with them, which is why they fall into that range.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if we go further back. Zebo is 19.
Yeah. I didn't count 19.
Yeah, I know that.
Now you're stretching it a little bit.
But Zebo,
that's five picks higher.
Zebo had a ton of baggage coming out of Michigan State.
But that was a good pick.
It was
a good pick.
Did you see that that his brother of the Hoops family got shot and killed?
I certainly did.
Yeah, which, you know, look, there was some.
That's coming up later in our sports police blotter segment.
I'm looking who else. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else that's, if you go way back.
I already did this, Jason.
Ala El Dub Nabi. Remember him?
I do. Ala Abdelnabi.
Yeah. Cliff Robinson.
I think he was Egyptian, right?
I tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. I mean, we tried everything.
Well, the scuttlebutt today on social media is that the Anfernee, it's not Simmons, it's Simons.
Oh, no.
He wanted that. It's spelled Simmons, S-I-M-O-N-S, but he says it's not. He said it's Simons.
Big difference.
Who's that? Tell me.
He's the kid that was going to go to Louisville.
Okay, the young kid.
The young kid, and that he never played college basketball. He was going to go to Louisville, and then they got caught up in the FBI probe, and he reclassified and went to the IMG Academy for an extra year of seasoning. So he has never played college basketball, but he was like a top 15 player in his class when he was going to go play for Slick Rick. Mm-hmm. He's a 6'4 shooting guard, pretty athletic. He's the only guy that the Blazers worked out twice. And I saw Quick was saying that, Quick wasn't saying it. Quick was reporting that when they were talking to Mr. Simons here, he was saying that, yeah, there are some teams that have showed some interest, but not like Portland. He said Portland was really interested in him, getting him to know on and off the court. And so at least from his perspective, Portland has shown the most interest in him. So that was kind of the scuttlebutt today is that he got a second workout with Portland. And obviously he's a guy that they are interested in.
So that's the guy that got two workouts.
Yeah.
Now I see his name here is spelled Simons. Simmons is with two M's. His name is spelled Simons, S-I-M-O-N-S. I would have called him Simons.
Would you have?
Yeah, it's like Paul Simon.
Yeah, I would have too.
Oh. Well, people were saying Simmons, and he had to say, no, it's not. Simons.
Yeah, come on, read, people. It's not hard. Anfernee Simons. Okay. And am I to be excited?
Does he go
by the name Penny?
He should.
He really should.
There was a clip floating around of Anfernee Hardaway, Penny Hardaway, I want to say maybe a week ago.
Friend of the show.
And the whole point of it was, it was like people forget what a problem he was.
He was amazing.
Boy, look at him before his knees went, like when he played with Shaq. Good Lord.
That's like me.
You forget before the injury how dominant Rob and Anfernee Hardaway really were.
Yeah, it was just a different age.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
I was a little younger, but
you know, tall, lanky, great athleticism. Like, had Shaq stayed in Orlando and not bolted LA, they could have had a Shaq and Kobe thing happening. They made the finals. Remember, they just got drilled by Houston. That was the year that Elijah won slapped him. But anyway, the Anthony Simons kids.
That's the guy.
That appears to be the guy that the Blazers are interested in. Whether he'll be there at 24 or not, he's got a bunch of workouts. The Lakers are said to be interested in him. So,
and he's a two guard?
He's a two guard. 6'4", 190 pounds, shoots the ball well, pretty athletic. I was looking at like his combine numbers. And
now, does this make CJ all butthurt?
I don't know. I don't know if it does or not, but I think, you
does
know,
it lead to the idea that CJ could be traded?
Look, if they draft him? If you draft a bigger guard that can do some of those things, absolutely. Or if the kid turns out to be a nice player, you can deal him. This idea that you don't draft a guard because you already have two, I just don't buy that
at
all.
If you're at 24, take the best player available.
Yeah. And, you know, he's one of those guys that is probably raw, never having seen him play, you know, college ball. So maybe he's a guy that had he played in college, had he gone to Louisville, maybe he's a top 10 player. But maybe he falls because of that, and you're able to get a player that you normally wouldn't get at 24. You're gonna, if you want an impact player at 24, you're gonna have to take a risk.
So, do you know when that kid was born? Can I tell you?
So I'm gonna say what, 99 maybe?
He was born in 1999, and I want you to think about that.
I know. Well, next year you're gonna have a kid that was born in the year 2000.
How does that make you feel?
It makes you feel old.
That he was born in 1999.
Catch me outside. How about that?
You know what the number one song in 1999 was? I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to something by Eminem, maybe.
Smooth by Santana with Rob Thomas.
That song was very popular.
That's how young the guy
that was. I remember like 99 being in college, and that was the Marshall Mathers album that came out. That was a big freaking deal.
The first one, the Slim Shady LP?
No. This was the second one that came out. The Slim Shady LP was the first one. But remember, we were talking about albums that when they came out, it was like, holy hell. That second Eminem album,
it was huge.
It was enormous. Like because people were saying we didn't put any rap albums in there, and we did not. But like when I was in high school and The Chronic came out with Dr. Dre, holy hell, was that a big deal. And then when I was in college and the second Eminem album hit.
Yeah, second one came out May 23rd, 2000.
Yeah, freaking enormous. Everyone listened to that.
You know what also happened in 1999?
What do you got?
That was the year of the death of Payne Stewart.
Oh, that was one of the freakier things. Remember they sent the military plane up, and he flew beside it and even bumped the wing.
They were dead.
They were dead.
Or they were passed out.
Yeah, they were passed. Well, I think they said they were dead, right?
They went 4 hours on autopilot.
Yeah, there was no oxygen. So they determined that everyone was dead, and they were debating whether or not they were going to have to shoot the plane down.
Yeah.
So they were trying to see if anyone could possibly be woken up, and I guess they were bumping the plane and nothing was happening. And
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, me either. But like an F-15 went up and shook the plane, like gave it a little... like a little bumper
how's
bone.
Your father?
Yeah, a little love tap. And they were like, no.
A little purpose
pitch. And I remember them saying that the windows were all fogged up. And they're like, it depressurized. There's no oxygen. They're all dead. And then they had to calculate how much fuel was left. And is it going to crash in an area that it's going to be safe? And if not, like if that was going to crash into a populated area, they were going to have to shoot down. They were going to have to blow up the plane that Payne Stewart was in.
But it crashed in South Dakota.
Yeah,
I guess, right in the middle of a field.
Yeah, and so they were like, all right, let's let it go. And there were, how many people, you said, what, 4 or 5 people
there
on that plane?
There were 4 on there.
Freaking.
Including the great Payne Stewart.
Yeah, insane.
That was one of the sports deaths that moved me most over the years.
Did it?
Yeah, I really liked him. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah. I just remember how it happened was kind of a surreal sort of way. You just don't think about that.
All right, well, the draft is Thursday, and I think we'll carry it. Live on the Fan?
On 910 ESPN Portland.
There you go.
Okay, so we won't have it here.
But we'll have the
picks. What are we going to do?
Well, probably the same thing we do. We'll give you a sounder, and then you play the pick
live. We'll go live to the first, 10 picks, and then if we're still on the air when the Blazers pick at 24, we'll do
it. Okay. All right, cool. That's the plan on Thursday.
There you go.
In the meantime, read up on all these prospects that will uninspire you because they're athletic but do nothing else.
And then we can talk about Jay-Z and Puma making a big comeback.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's funny that honestly, like this draft class, I don't know what it is, but that's been like the biggest story coming out of the draft is that Puma is getting back into the basketball game.
Who just signed him? Signed with
Aiden and Bagley.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. I love me some Puma. I'm down with Puma.
Was it Ricky Fowler and then like Rihanna, I think, does it. And then Jay-Z is becoming like their ambassador of basketball.
All right. When we get back, where are the Oregon tribal casinos on sports gambling? We'll get to that. Here's Mike.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, so I was a little late into the studio today, and I didn't pull up the text line until this last break.
Yeah.
A couple things. One, people reminded me, and I missed this because it was a trade, but the Blazers did get Nick Batum at 25.
Oh.
Because it was the Rockets actually picked him. That was the year the Blazers picked Darrell Arthur. And then they traded Joey Dorsey. It was a big package, but they ended up with Batum. So that technically counts. Well, and that's a nice player.
Yeah, Batum was a nice player. I don't know if he ever won the hearts. He was a very controversial player here. But
yeah, if you get a player of his caliber.
If you get Nick Batum at 24.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You're
cartwheels.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, it can be done. It's just, it's hard. Like when you're sitting here and you're trying to go through draft prospects and you get outside of the top, let's say 15, God, it's a hodgepodge at that point. No one knows if a guy that's being selected at 24 or 32 or 19 even is going to be in any kind of player. You just don't know, but they'll all spin the same way. I remember when they drafted Luke Babbitt and they told us that he was the best shooter in the draft, or any one of the different Europeans, the Sergei Monias of the world or the Kriapas. And they tell you that guy is going to go over and be the next Manu Ginobili. Of course, they're going to put a positive spin on it, but it's just, it's a wait and see sort of approach. I mean, what, Swanigan, right? For a brief time, Swanigan, people were like, oh God, Biggie, you know, he's going to be this monster impact. After the first month of the season, we never saw him again.
So another person reminded us too that, you know, it's interesting why Puma is suddenly making a big splash in the draft with these kids. You know, he mentions Nike and Adidas have probably been paying these guys for years. And then they go and sign with Puma. It's a cold world. But I wonder if that whole FBI thing does have something to do with the rise of Puma this year.
It's possible. Or, you know, they just decided they want to get in on this. I know Jay-Z brings instant clout to it. And, you know, maybe they think that, you know, with the whole Big Baller brand, I don't know, maybe they're maybe they feel that there's a vulnerability there.
But if they're getting Aiden, I mean,
well, they just paid more than everyone else.
Yeah, but there's been a lot, but to this guy's point, there's been a lot of groundwork laid to get Ayton.
And probably Bagley. I mean, both of these guys were not.
Yeah, but the Arizona thing, I mean, that's like, that was like the coach was involved, right, on a phone call. So we know Ayton has been paid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know that, but we, come on, wink, wink.
You kind of know it.
So groundwork has been laid to get that guy into, whether it be Nike or Adidas.
Would have been Nike. Arizona's a Nike school.
For a lot of years.
Yeah. And then he gives you
and he's going to Puma.
The middle finger.
And we'll see. So you wonder if Puma's been laying any groundwork all these years.
Or they just swooped in with a bag of money and were like, hey, you know, things aren't going that well for you with this whole Nike thing and the investigations. So why don't you just come on board with us? You know, maybe there's a sense of, I honestly think that some of the Lonzo Ball stuff may have something to do with this, the kind of the forging your own brand. I think there's an element of you go to Nike or you go to Adidas and you're another face in the crowd, right? You're not getting your own shoe.
Yeah.
If you're a Nike, you're behind LeBron and KD and all this. Even if you go to Under Armour, you're behind Steph Curry and The Rock. Did you see that? You know who the biggest shoe endorser right now in the world is? It's the freaking Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, outside
of Jordan. I mean, Jordan's in his own separate category, and he hasn't played in
the
20
Rock.
Years. The Rock.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So when...
The Rock has the number one selling brand merchandise in athletic apparel right now.
And who makes it?
Under Armour. Like, his stuff sells out in hours. Like, they release a new Rock shoe in the Rock collection, and it's gone.
Well,
like,
you can't
buy it.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense now that I think about it, because when I'm hanging out of a helicopter trying to pull someone off a cliff, I need to be dressed properly.
You got to do it. But it's funny, of all the Under Armour stuff, like, right, and Steph Curry and the panel, all that money, The Rock is what's carrying Under Armour right now. But and then you go to Adidas, you're in line behind Dame, you're in line behind Harden and some of those other guys. you go to Puma and, you know, Ayton and Bagley are the only two. They're going to be the guys.
So I know Puma has always been a bigger brand globally than Under Armour.
Yeah, it's more of a soccer lifestyle brand than it ever was basketball.
Because Puma was around when we were littles.
Uh-huh. That was a Clyde Frazier thing. And you know, people wore like the suede Pumas, but it was never an athletic shoe. I remember Vince Carter tried to do it when he came into the league. They tried to do this before with Vince, and that lasted like a year, and it went away.
But Puma has, I guess, taken over Under Armour in the U.S. now.
Really?
Yeah. I was just reading this.
Yeah, it's I think one of the Kardashians or the Jenner kids.
They got Kylie Jenner. They say it's due in, you know, this isn't everything, but they did get some key celebs. They got Kylie Jenner. You mentioned Jay-Z, Big Sean. Is that a guy?
Yeah, I think that's like life. He's a rapper, hip hop guy. It's a lifestyle brand.
The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Got him. So they got some folks that were non-sportsy into their stuff.
Well, maybe this is kind of goes along with the whole rock thing, right? Is it better to sell sneakers and apparel off of someone that's a decent but not a huge basketball player? Or is it to go to a celebrity or musician that kids love?
But I think what's interesting is like it used to be that athletic apparel, like people like The Weeknd would never wear that stuff, right? Yeah, like that was dorky.
But now
it's crossover.
I'm trying to think of what they call it. It's like athleisure is what it is.
And everybody wears that kind of stuff because it looks cool now. Yep. And, you know, so you can get celebrities to endorse it and it crosses over to sports.
It's fun it's kind of funny when you see people even in, I'm not going to say formal settings, but semi-formal, and they are wearing Nike and Adidas stuff. Yep. They're wearing basically sweats, but they're not like Costco sweatpants that you would wear like growing up to the gym. Like no one wears their athletic gear anymore to go to the gym or to work out. It's like you don't want to ruin it.
It's everyday stuff.
Yeah, it's everyday stuff.
But also guys are wearing tennis with their suits and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the dress shoe. At least in the young athlete world, seems to be out.
They all wear Jordans. Like if you watch Charles Woodson will be wearing a $10,000 suit, and then he's got a pair of Jordan 11s on his feet.
Crazy.
Which I'm kind of jealous of, but I can't do. Like I own a couple pairs of Jordans and I love them, but I am not nearly ballsy enough to go to go suit and then rock some Jordans.
Well, for guys like you and I, it looks stupid.
Yes.
But for them, it looks cool.
Yeah. I'm sure like when LeBron does it, it's like LeBron's suit shorts that he wore.
Yeah, his capris.
Yeah, LeBron can do that. I can't wear a suit and then
definitely cannot.
No, and then show off my sweet pasty white calves and be like, yeah, let's do this. Doesn't quite work for me as well.
Okay, coming up next.
This guy says he wore Jordans in a suit to prom.
Great.
Yeah, see, the kids.
It's all about
the kids.
Not us 40-somethings.
No.
Where are the Oregon Tribal Casinos on sports gambling? We'll get to that story next on The Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, if you want to follow what's going on with sports gambling all around the country, we had this guy on not too long ago, but it's sportshandle.com, and they're on Twitter. And so I saw this story on there, and it pertains to Oregon. Now, he's covering all the states and all the different stories. But I did not know this regarding the Oregon Tribal Casinos and their thoughts on sports gaming.
Yeah, and what this would mean for them.
Because they've been quiet.
Yeah.
So the first part of this, we'll get to that in a second. The first part of this story says the Oregon Lottery is laying the groundwork to roll out Oregon sports betting with mobile/online functionality. The first iteration of the app, which will allow players to see if they hold a winning lottery ticket, is planned for later this summer. I can't believe they don't already have that.
Yeah, they said that it's coming. You were gone when we talked about it, but I think they said middle to end of July. And then when they made that announcement, they said that hopefully soon after that, an addition will be made to the app where sports gambling would be a part of it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Agreed.
So then it goes on to say that Oregon is no novice when it comes to gambling or to being on the cutting edge of gambling. The state has 9 tribal casinos, a horse racetrack, and 11 off-track betting locations. In addition, the state also has a summer weekend horse racing circuit and is one of a handful of states that has a hub system to accept wagers on horse and dog racing from out-of-state bettors, which I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
You bet on the doggies?
I don't. What do you mean the ponies?
Well, it says dogs.
Dogs?
That's what I just said.
I kind of was assuming that we were talking horse racing.
Well, we don't have it out here, but they have it around the country.
Other parts in the state?
That's what it says.
Huh. I've been to the dog races before, but the cruelty behind that, and I don't get into dog and horse betting.
According to an Oregon lottery spokesman, Oregon has 9 tribal casinos, all of which will be able to offer legal or mobile sports betting if the lottery does.
Okay.
So it reads, those 9 tribal casinos are very much on the lottery's mind, as are state lawmakers and the governor, as it moves forward with its new app. As is the case in other states, see, I didn't know this, the tribal casinos are located on federal land and are governed by the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. Well, we knew that they were on federal land. It's just that this Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, this thing came out in, I think, the late 80s.
See, I knew a little bit about this because they said, like, up in Washington, this could be a bit of a problem as well because they have some other laws in the books and that, which makes Washington maybe a little bit behind where Oregon's at. Because remember, before this kind of went through the Supreme Court, Oregon was one of, what, 4 or 5 states that technically did allow gambling.
Right, but I think that's the area where we missed it, is that with the tribal casinos, they're on
a separate thing.
Well, yeah, because they're on land that isn't governed by the state.
State, it's federal.
So they already have their own. This came out in 1988, and it created a federal, state, and sort of tribe partnership for gambling, and that includes sports gambling. Now, the interpretation of that is going to be, you know, they're going to pore over this, and it's going to be kind of convoluted here. But
if the lottery does it, then the casinos can do it?
That's right. So it says there is a pact between the state and the tribes that's in place, which lays a framework for taxation and other issues. The pact that the state has with tribal casinos is that any games that the state lottery offers, they can offer.
Hmm.
So if we can all work together, that would be better, said the Oregon Lottery spokesman.
Now, a question I have is, so if they offer up, let's say, sports action, does that mean that they can only offer up sports action like at Spirit Mountain, or could we have a full-on sports book?
I would think it would have to be at their location.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like,
right?
So if we do sports action, though, can I bet on anything I want in those casinos?
Well, I read that.
Or can I only do sports action there?
See, I read that as however limited the Oregon lottery is, that's how limited the gaming will be at the tribal casinos.
Well, then let's hope that it gets opened up for the lottery, and then that way you can have what we consider to be a real sports book at Spirit Mountain or any of the other casinos.
Well, but it already is opened up for the lottery.
Yes, but the lottery isn't doing it right now.
No, and that's why it's like, come on, man.
Get with
the program. Some of these states, like New Jersey and Delaware,
already on board. Mississippi and West Virginia are going to go like any day.
One of them already built a sports book.
Yeah, I think that was
at their racetrack.
That was Jersey. Jersey has 2. They have one at a racetrack, and they have another one at a, I think it's a
casino
hotel
in Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's a casino hotel. They're already on board. Delaware is on board, and there's 2 other states. I think it was Mississippi and West Virginia. They said within a month we'll be online as well.
So the lottery, I don't know. I hope it's not just sports action. I hope they get more intricate with it. And
exactly.
Offer live, you know, like in game. Like I can bet on a game.
Yeah,
like
a Vegas sports book.
On all the major sports.
You should.
But
and how great would it be to have that app where, again, I think the no-brainer is simply to have it where you do have that app. And if I'm sitting there at a Blazer game, or if I'm sitting there at a Timbers game or a Winterhawk game, or hopefully when we have Major League Baseball with the Ducks and the Beavers, that I can place bets sitting there on my phone. That's the one that I think makes the most sense and could really rope in a lot of people to maybe, I don't know, improve the live game experience.
It's just disappointing to me that the lottery's talking about this app and we're like, oh, that's just cool, mobile and all that. But right now all they're saying is you can check your lottery tickets on.
I know.
It's like, come on, man.
Let's go get with this. But they did say that that's going to be the first version of it, and they hope to improve on it. And they did say they hope to add in sports gambling. I just hope it's not, I will be sorely disappointed if they give us some BS sports action and that's all. And that's what it's limited to. And if that's what the casinos end up being limited to.
So I guess the only other thing I don't know is what is to stop any entity from building a sports book.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, outside of the tribes and the lottery, can't somebody else just pop one up?
When we had the guy on, he seemed to think that that was a real option. But, you know, Congress is talking about this right now, and we could have a federal law that comes down that changes everything. So I think this thing is very...
Maybe people are waiting.
Yeah, this thing could be very, very fluid, because if you got a rush and you're going to try to be the first one, and then some federal law comes in and changes...
Yeah.
Even if it just changes the dynamic of the cut that you have to get, maybe it's not as profitable as it once was, because, you know, all the sports leagues want it to be a federal law. That way they can get their hooks into it and can siphon off a percentage or two for them.
I guess if I were getting into it, I would certainly want to...
See what the landscape is, right?
Settle with the lawmakers first. Yeah. Okay, coming up next, what the hell on Kellen Winslow? 359 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.